Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be presenting our second part in a three-part series that we have titled, What the Bible Says About Sexual Perversion and Sodomy. Folks, it is a difficult topic, but it is one that the man of God, including pastors, preachers, and teachers, must deal with. I would encourage you to go back and listen to and read the material that we covered in part one to this particular series, and I would encourage you also to download the document that we based this series upon so that you will have what you need to follow us in this particular series. Now, in our last presentation, we gave a pretty detailed introduction into where America is at now in its embrace of sodomy, child molestation, and child mutilation. And we also dealt with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis chapter 19, and also the incest that took place between Lot and his two daughters. That just shows you how far this particular issue had already progressed, even way back in Genesis chapter 19. The very first thing that we're going to deal with today is also going to be very ugly. We're going to deal with what God calls the sin of bestiality. Here's what God has to say in Exodus chapter 22, verse 9. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. That's Exodus chapter 22, verse 9. Now, we're not going to deal solely with bestiality in here. In fact, when we get into deeper into this particular session for today, we're going to be discussing both Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 before we get through with today's session. But now we're going to talk about briefly about bestiality. Exodus 22:19 again says, "Whosoever lieth with a beast, shall surely be put to death." Bestiality, folks, is men and women having sex with animals. That's difficult to say. That is what the phrase "whosoever lieth with a beast" means. The penalty for this sin was death. In Leviticus chapter 18, God establishes laws for governing sexual relations. Leviticus 20 establishes God's penalties for the violation of his laws governing sexual relations. The Bible uses the term uncovering nakedness to refer to having sexual relations. In the Bible, seeing someone's nakedness means to violate a person's privacy. Some would disagree with that statement. Hence, to look upon someone's nakedness is not having sexual relations with them. And by the way, some folks will disagree with that. Therefore, the sin of Ham in Genesis 9 verse 22 did not involve sexual relations with his father Noah. However, it was a sin to look upon Noah's nakedness. Looking upon someone's nakedness was a sin that could lead to actual sexual relations and or unclean thoughts. Pornography is looking upon someone's nakedness. Another problem with Ham is that he broadcast what he had seen. Another question that arises is, why was Ham in his father's tent to start with? Some would disagree here and say that Canaan's and Ham's sin was that of sodomy. It may be that this is a very strong statement as to why God expects men and women to keep their nakedness covered. Here it resulted in a curse. From the scriptures that follow, we will also see that witchcraft, sorcery, and wizardry were associated with sexual perversion and the worship of pagan gods. Now let us turn and we're going to do quite a bit of reading, and we're going to read Leviticus chapters 18 and chapter 20. You'll notice that I put a lot of emphasis in my teaching and preaching upon the scriptures, and I read a lot of scriptures. The Bible can say it a whole lot better than I can. So let's go and look at Leviticus 18, and we're actually looking at in 18 at the particular sin that is described. And then later on in chapter 20, we'll see what the prescribed penalty was for it. Leviticus chapter 18, starting in verse 6, and we will read all the way through verse 30. None of you shall approach unto any that is near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, it is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shalt any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto, it is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. That's Leviticus chapter 18, verses 6 through 30. That described the actual sins themselves. In Leviticus chapter 20, is a description of how those sins are dealt with as it relates to punishment. Verse 1 of chapter 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary, and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Molech, from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes, and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. Or which sanctify you. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Verse 11, And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approacheth unto any beast, and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. Verse 18, And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. That is Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. Next, we're going to read the 27th verse of Leviticus chapter 20. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Again, that is Leviticus chapter 20, verses 27. Now, A study of Leviticus 18, which is the rule again, that is the actual sin defined, and also Leviticus chapter 20, which establishes the penalty for those sins, reveals the following about God's rules for human sexual conduct. Number one, God forbids sex between a father and daughter or a son and mother. The penalty was death. That was Leviticus 18, verse 7, and Leviticus 20, verse 11. Number two, God forbids sex between a son and a father's wife. The penalty was death. That was Leviticus chapter 18, verse 7, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. Number three, God forbids sex between brothers and sisters. He shall be cut off or cast out in the sight of his people. That is Leviticus chapter 18, verses 9 and 11, and also Leviticus chapter 20, verse 17. Number four, God forbids sex between a grandfather and his granddaughters. That is Leviticus chapter 18, verse 10. Number five, God forbids men to have sex with their aunts or their aunts-in-law. The penalty was dying childless. That's Leviticus chapter 18, verses 12 through 14, and also Leviticus 20, verse 19. Number six, God forbids sex between a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. The penalty was death. That's Leviticus chapter 18, verse 15, and also Leviticus chapter 20, verse 12. Number seven, God forbids sex with a man's sister-in-law except in the role as a kinsman redeemer. The penalty was that they were to be childless. That is Leviticus 18, verse 16, Leviticus 20, verse 21, and we haven't read it, but Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5. Number 8, God forbids sex between a man and the daughter of that man's wife or the wife's granddaughters. This would be the case if a man married a woman who already had children. In such a case, the man, his wife, and the daughter were to be put to death. This obviously applied if all three were willing participants. That would be Leviticus 18, 17, and also Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14. Number 9, God forbids sex between a man and his wife's sister while the wife is still alive. That's Leviticus chapter 18, verse 18. Number 10, God forbids sex during a woman's menstrual cycle. Both were cut off from among the people. That was Leviticus 18, verse 19, and Leviticus 20, verse 18. Number 11, God forbids sex between married and unmarried people, adultery. The penalty for both was death, Leviticus 18, verse 20, and Leviticus 20, verse 10. Number 12, God forbids sex for the purpose of sacrificing the seed, the infant, in other words, to Moloch, an idol. The penalty for that was death. That's Leviticus 18, verse 21, and also Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Number 13, God forbids sex between a man and a man, or sex between a woman and a woman. The penalty was death for both. That would be Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Number 14, God forbids mankind having sex with animals. The penalty was death for both the animal and the person. That's Leviticus 18, verse 23, Leviticus 20, verses 15 and 16, and also Exodus 22, verse 19, which we read at the outset of today's session. Number 15, communication with familiar spirits and the practice of witchcraft, sorcery, and wizardry were used in combination with sexual perversion and promiscuity in the worship of pagan idols. The vilest part of this debauchery was sodomy. By definition, communication with a false god was communicating with familiar spirits. The penalty for this sin was death. We see that in Leviticus 20, verse 6, Leviticus 20, verse 7, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. So that's a pretty sordid list of things that we're really not comfortable talking about, teaching, or preaching it. We're just not comfortable doing it. But it's something that must be done, and it's obvious that it's not being done in America because our society is consumed with it. It is an abomination before God, and it is a violation of God's laws. And it must be dealt with, because if it is not dealt with, it ends up destroying the society that it consumes. Many times sodomites will jump on what they falsely and wickedly perceive to be the injustice of God in requiring the death penalty for men having sex with men and women having sex with women. They only see what they want to see, folks. See again the discussion that we just completed, and where we went through Leviticus chapter 18 and also Leviticus chapter 20. And in those, we identified 15 separate groups. And in many cases, the penalty for that sin was death. God also required the death penalty for the following offenses. And unlike what the sodomites say, though, God required the death penalty for many things in the Old Testament. And here are some of the other offenses that the death penalty was required for. Touching Mount Sinai, that was Exodus chapter 19, verse 12. Murder, that was in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Leviticus 24, verse 17 and 21. Numbers 35, verse 16. And then 17 and 18, 21, and also 30 through 31. Smiting or cursing one's mother or father brought the death penalty. That was Exodus 21, verse 15 and 17, and also Leviticus 20, verse 9. Stealing and selling a man also brought the death penalty. That was Exodus 21, verse 16, and Deuteronomy 24, verse 7. Having sex with animals brought the death penalty. That's Exodus 22, verse 19, Leviticus 20, verses 15 and 16. Next up, working during or defiling the Sabbath brought the death penalty. That was Exodus 31, verses 14 and 15, Numbers 15, verse 35. The death penalty was also called for when strangers coming nigh the tabernacle. That was Numbers chapter 1, verse 51, Numbers 3, verse 10, Numbers 3:38, Numbers 18:7. Also, the death penalty was called for when false prophesying took place. That was the law of Deuteronomy 13, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. The death penalty was also called for when practicing idolatry. That is identified in Leviticus 20, verse 2, Deuteronomy 17, verses 1 through 7. The death penalty also was called out for adultery in Leviticus 20, verse 10. And then the death penalty was called out for practicing witchcraft and dealing with familiar spirits and wizards. That is in Exodus 22, 18, and Leviticus 20, verse 27. And also, the death penalty was called out for rebellion against the priest and the judge. That is identified in Deuteronomy 17, verse 12. There was a death penalty also for rape. That is in Deuteronomy 22, verse 25. The death penalty was also carried out for blaspheming the name of the Lord and cursing. That was in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 14 through 16, and also verse 23 of that chapter. The death penalty was called for when a son was rebelling against his mother and father and would not stop it. That's Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. The death penalty was called for when people were guilty of fornication or sex outside of marriage. That is Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21. And finally, a man having voluntary sex with a virgin that is engaged to another man, that called for the death penalty also. That was in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23. Now, I realize that was an extensive list of things, but our whole point in it was put away the insinuation by the Sodomites that God was unjust for calling for the death penalty for their sin of sodomy. We see that there were numerous other things within the Old Testament where the death penalty was required. And all this proves that the wages or the penalty for sin is death. That's Romans 6, verse 22. Many times, the infant children of those who were involved in the sexual perversion that occurred in the worship of pagan gods were sacrificed unto those pagan gods. These infants were burnt to death in that sacrifice, folks. Many times the end of sexual perversion is inflicting pain upon others and self. It is the product of a mind that is totally given over to Satan. It is also a perfect picture of the depravity of man. Folks, it is unbelievable how depraved America has become in her sexual perversion, her child molestation, her mutilation of children through transgender surgeries, and we could go on and on. Now, the next sexual issue that God deals with is the abomination of cross-dressing. And I've already said this, but I'll say this. Cross-dressing is the root of the transgender movement. That's where it all got started. I can remember years ago watching, back before I got saved, watching comedies, and there was a comedian named Red Fox that made a joke about his son unfastening his bra, and I've always remembered that. And that's where this whole thing got started. They started making a mark of sin. They made a joke out of that which God called an abomination. And believe me, they have tore it down here a little and there a little until now it is a raging inferno that is ripping America apart. But Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, in reference to cross-dressing, says this, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." That's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. One of the marks of a sodomite is a man that will dress like a woman and a woman that will dress like a man. This is a biblical standard that Satan has been tearing down for decades in the television and movie cesspools and the sodomite-dominated fashion design industry. It started in the television industry by dressing men up as women and then poking fun at them and laughing about it. We guarantee you that God is not and was not amused by it. He calls it an abomination. Sodomy and cross-dressing are an abomination unto God. God does not want his children to dress in a manner that does not clearly identify them as either male or female. God does not want the world to mistake his children for sodomites. In the very next chapter of Deuteronomy, God deals again with the issue of sodomy. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. "For those of you who do not have a 1611 King James Bible that has kept the marginal notes and cross-references, you will not be able to verify my next statement. The 1611 King James Bible and most center column reference editions of the Cambridge King James Bibles have the original King James translators marginal notes and cross-references in them. The marginal note on the word whore in verse 17 is sodomitis, in other words, a female sodomite. And also, in other words, the whore that is the subject of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, is a female sodomite that prostitutes herself to other females. That's what that's teaching. God again deals with sexual perversion in Deuteronomy chapter 27, where we read, starting in verse 20, and we'll read through 23. Verse 20, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen." That's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 20 through 23. These verses in Deuteronomy 27 again deal with incest, verses 20 and 22. They deal with bestiality in verse 21, and they deal with adultery in verse 23. God pronounced a curse upon all those that took part in these abominations. The events in that we're going to talk about next in Judges 19 stand right up next to the events in Genesis 19 as the events that will live in biblical infamy. Both of these events brought a very painful judgment upon those involved in them that would have to be classified with the greatest man-caused tragedies in world history. Both of these were driven by God's judgment on sodomy. Now let's go and take a look at the book of Judges, and we'll start Judges 19 and read verses 22 through 30. Verse 22. "Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." Once again, folks, that's talking about a sexual relationship. "Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." Verse 23. "And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, Up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him into his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. That's Judges chapter 19, verses 22 through 30. And folks, What a sordid scene that was. Once again, we see those faithful expressions that we may know him and do not so wickedly. We saw that in Genesis chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. These Sodomites were not interested in the woman. They wanted to have sex with the man. Once again, we have a man offering up two innocent women to appease the violent Sodomites at his door. See again in Genesis chapter 19, verse 8. And then the Sodomites were given the visitor's concubine, and they sexually abused her to death. We are not quite sure why the Levite cut his dead concubine up into 12 pieces, but we know that it was a vile act in and of itself. We know from Judges chapter 19, verse 30, that this was a unique event in the history of Israel since the Exodus from Egypt. The events in Judges chapter 19 became so well known that there was a proverb in Israel that stated, "As in the days of Gibeah." It was quoted in Hosea chapter 9, verse 9, and in Hosea chapter 10, verse 9. This one horrific incident in Judges 19 of sodomy was the straw that broke the camel's back. It resulted in judgment that brought civil war in Israel because the tribe of Benjamin refused to surrender the Sodomites who were responsible for the death of the concubine. We see that in Judges chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. The carnage that resulted from that event caused 40,000 deaths in Israel. We see that in Judges chapter 20, verses 21 and 25. And also, there were 25,000 deaths in the tribe of Benjamin. We see that in Judges chapter 20, verse 46. This amounted to 94% of the men in the tribe of Benjamin and 10% of the men in the tribes of Israel. This amounts to 65,000 deaths, not including those in Jabesh-Gilead. And the root cause of this whole incident was sodomy. We're going to close our presentation in this three-part series there. And in our next session, we will finish up. I want to thank you for joining us today.